Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
Joining me now is one of the two game developers who have worked on such titles as RoboCop vs. Terminator, Shantae, Fuse, Contra 4, and many others. His gross baby boy Boogerman will be returning hopefully for his 20th birthday if he gets the support of gamers like you out there on Kickstarter. It gives me great pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Chris Tremmel. Welcome to the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Thanks very much for having me.
Anytime. Now, before we begin, let's just quickly explain. Mike was supposed to join us, but something life-changing just happened for him.
Mike's wife just gave birth to a new baby boy yesterday. Unfortunately, they're not naming him Boogerman, although I pushed for that. But little Mikey Jr. just came into the world, so Mike's off at home taking care of the new one.
Fantastic. And we send our congrats, everybody here at B3, and hopefully the whole gaming world as well.
Thank you. I'll pass that along for sure.
All right. So let's turn the pages to probably the first chapter of this game's life. Where did the concept of Boogerman originate from?
You know, it was back in 1993. I had just started at Interplay as a tester. Mike was a programmer, and after a few months as a tester, I was able to get promoted out. Mike was one of the ones responsible for doing that, which is awesome. And, you know, we knew that it was a Genesis game we were going to be working on. Interplay wanted to do a Genesis game. It was their first one done in-house. So when we started talking about it, you know, Brian Fargo and Alan Pavlish were our bosses, and you know, the main thing they wanted to do was to make something that was gross. They wanted to do a gross game that appealed to the Garbage Pail Kid crowd and generation. So, you know, when we began the game originally, I think, if I can remember correctly, it was kind of the idea was maybe a multiplayer game where the concept was to try and gross out the other character by doing things in the game world. So it was almost like an arena-based party-type game.
Interesting. So what were like some of the things that you had the other players do? Like, what were like some of the different characters?
Well, you know, I think character-wise, I don't think we got very far. But I know, like, concept-wise, you know, we started with some of the things that are in Boogerman, like the burping and the farting. I think eventually you could power yourself up to be able to puke. And then hopefully puking in front of the other character would cause I guess you could almost see it as like a disgusting fighting game where you're fighting with gross abilities instead of.
So I could kind of picture like a sort of Mortal Kombat style of meter up there. And then like you just keep doing these maneuvers on one another. And then it would, instead of ending in a fatality of sorts, it would be like a grossality.
Absolutely. Now, fortunately, we didn't get far enough to get to that point. You know, I think pretty early on, somebody on the team, I can't remember exactly who it was, but somebody on the team came up with the name of a character called Captain Flatulence. And once we heard Captain Flatulence, it immediately triggered the superhero instinct. So right away we started talking, okay, that's pretty funny. What about a superhero that's based on the ability to fart? And you know, I think a little over time it evolved, and eventually we came up with the idea of, okay, let's not just settle on farting. Let's bring in mucus and snot and that sort of thing as well. And we shied away from things like puking and, you know, the really, really disgusting stuff.
Yeah, because I can imagine it would have been a little bit tough to try to convince Interplay to do a game with a lot of barfing.
Yeah, you know, funny enough, they probably would have gone for it. It was the outside that was going to have more problems with that. You know, we got a lot of we even got a lot of pushback on the actual game as it exists today. When we did the original commercials, MTV refused to air them.
Really? Even with BBC, like them airing Beavis and Butthead, you would assume that they would put it on there.
The funny thing was, it was to advertise during Beavis and Butthead. Eventually, we adjusted the commercial so much that they accepted it. But yeah, so, you know, that's where we started. And once we came up with the superhero idea and came up with the Boogerman concept, it all just kind of came from there, you know, coming up with things like the nose goblins and the scab creatures and the pus monsters, you know, it kind of made sense. And back then, it was a lot simpler to go about developing a game concept. The teams were a lot smaller. There's a lot less money involved. And so, you know, if we thought it was funny, then it was something that went into the game.
Was it a little bit difficult to try to do something that was a little bit more different from, like, say, Ren and Stimpy and Beavis and Butthead and all these other shows? Because it was, like, very mainstream during that time for grossed-out humor to be on not just, you know, children's cartoons, but also on sitcoms and many other places.
Yeah, you know, thinking back, it's probably one of the easiest game developments I had ever been through in terms of concept and idea. And, you know, I think that was at a time where we didn't really think a lot about stuff like that. You know, we knew that stuff existed and we were fans of it, but we just wanted to make something that we thought was going to be fun and going to be funny. And I'm sure it was a lot tougher than I remember. Yeah. But, you know, I remember it being a pretty simple process.
And when it came out finally in its final form in 94, not only did it get its press just because it was, you know, a gross-out game, but it wound up being a great title. It wound up being very challenging, a lot of fun. I remember playing it on many occasions. Like I think it was one of the very few video games that I played probably more than 20 times and beat it.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, we hear that from a lot of people, and it's a really flattering thing to hear. And, you know, we never really thought about 20 years in the future back then when we were making it. And now that we're here, it really means a lot to us to hear how much people enjoyed it at the time.
Yeah, it is a very great title. In fact, when I was posting the story on Electric Sisterhood's EGM Now page, like, all my friends were like, oh my god, we gotta go out and support this. This was our childhood. I was just surprised myself seeing how many people remembered the game itself as too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, it's something probably not until the last 5 or 6 years have we really started to notice that. And now with the resurgence of a lot of the retro stuff and people becoming a lot more interested in retro stuff, there's a lot more people coming out and saying, you know, I grew up with this. And I think, you know, platforms like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, you know, that stuff helps because people are able now to communicate to a lot more people and share that kind of stuff that they grew up with.
So, if you don't mind me asking, you know, it's been since Clay Fighter 63 and a half since we've seen Boogerman show up in a video game. Why do you think it took so long to finally come back to this character?
You know, I think that you know, Mike and I both got so focused in our careers and stuff that we were working on. He was really neck deep in projects and work at WayForward. I was working on Lord of the Rings at EA for about 6 years. After that, I ended up down at Activision working on some stuff for quite a while. And, you know, it wasn't until I was down at Activision where Mike and I actually started talking about it again. It was probably around the time that Interplay re-released it on the Wii console.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the virtual console. And so, you know, I just think that it was one of those things we didn't really ever think at the time about. You know, we were going to do a sequel, but we ended up not. And Mike and I ended up up going to different companies. And it was just one of those things that we never really paid that much attention to in terms of talking about it. One thing I can say is that we're really happy to be here, you know, and we're happy to, it's pretty exciting going back down that memory lane and kind of revisiting some of this stuff.
Absolutely. And to be putting on Kickstarter, which has been a large supporter of, like, independent titles. Like, I've gone on there to support games like Armor Krog and Mighty No. 9 and Shantae Half Genie Hero. Titles that I feel like if it wasn't for the gaming community itself, these titles would probably have never been made in the first place.
Absolutely, and Kickstarter was key for us, you know. I mean, if we had the money to fund it ourselves, we probably would have funded it ourselves, but Kickstarter allowed us to at least take that chance and to come out and offer it to people and see if we can drum up enough interest to do so. And the coolest thing about Kickstarter is it's funded by the fans. So if we can find enough people who want it, then it'll get made. And if we don't, then it won't get funded, and we'll go on from there, you know. But the exciting thing is getting that opportunity to do so.
Yeah. So going into making the 20th anniversary of Boogerman, how did you decide on the style? Like, what made you choose the whole cel-shaded animated look, kind of in vein of, like, the recent Rayman games, instead of more of, like, a 3D-based look?
You know, it's funny. The original concept work that was done for the first game 20 years ago actually looks a lot like this stuff. It was kind of what we had envisioned all along from the very beginning. You know, we were obviously really challenged in the beginning with limitations of the consoles, you know, and making really incredible pixel art backgrounds is a total art form. And there are very few games back then that really could pull that stuff off. Earthworm Jim was obviously one of them. You know, Mickey Mania, some of the great Mickey stuff. But it was, you know, it's always been a desire of ours to go after that style. Now, we're also really huge fans of 2D animation and always have been. Hanna-Barbera, Disney, Nickelodeon, all of that type of thing. So, you know, we wanted to make sure to stay true to that as much as we could, because really, if we do get this opportunity, this will be kind of us bringing it back in the way it was originally envisioned.
Not going to lie here, I do have a soft spot for the cel-shaded look of video games. In fact, a lot of my favorite titles have that sort of look. In fact, last year, my Game of the Year pick was one such side-scroller that looked like a beautifully animated cartoon called Dust and Elysian Tale.
Right, yep, gorgeous game.
Very gorgeous game. It just took my breath away every step of the way. And from the pictures that you posted so far of the new Boogerman, it's looking like one of those classic, like, 1980s, 1990s syndicated cartoons that I used to watch as a kid. So I have a really big heart for games that have that sort of style to it.
Yeah, that's definitely what we're going for. You know, we've been really fortunate to be hooked up with an artist named Nino Navarra. He's from the Bay Area. And, you know, his stuff is just, it just fits really well. And from the very first meeting we had with him and the very first art that he did for us, you know, it was right on from the very beginning.
Excellent, excellent. So in this new Boogerman 20th anniversary game, how will Dimension Excrement differ from its original incarnation in the first video game? Will there be many differences between the two?
You know, I think, both visually and story-wise. You know, visually, hopefully we'll be able to bring it to a lot more detail now. One thing we're going to do is an overhead map for the game, so you'll be choosing your levels from an overhead map. So hopefully that will help give the player a little bit better idea of how everything connects together and where everything is located spatially. Yeah, the other big aspect of it is, you know, the story side. So in the first one, you know, in 1993, story was definitely tertiary at best in terms of importance in the game. You know, and looking back at it, we want to keep to the core idea of the story, but there's a lot of things that we want to explain. There's a lot of things about what is Dimension Excrement, where did it come from, why does it exist, what are they doing there, you know, what is Boogermeister's master plan. You know, we never really said in the first game what that was. So, you know, we're definitely going to go a lot deeper with that.
Are we also going to see a backstory about Boogermeister and how he became such an evil creature of sorts?
Definitely. So that's something, you know, that Mike and I have talked about a lot over the years is where he came from and how he came to exist and why is he so upset with everyone.
Okay.
And that's definitely something we're going to be doing in the next one as well.
Really looking forward to that. So on these new consoles that are coming out for like PS4, Wii U, there is, of course, a lot more material you can do on there than you could than say, like, an SNES cartridge or a Genesis cartridge. What ideas did you have back in the day were, like, too big for Genesis cartridge that you're going to be putting into the new Boogerman title?
You know, for one thing, we had a lot of ideas back then of really large characters, really big set pieces in the levels, and it just really wasn't very feasible with the sprite limitations and the color limitations. So we're definitely going to be bringing in some really big characters and nice set pieces that are, you know, our centerpieces in the levels themselves. You know, the size of the levels is definitely a big thing. You know, just based on our memory limitations from the time, we really weren't able to build stuff to the size and scale that we wanted. The other thing, too, is, you know, there's a lot of animations that we created and a lot of concepts like, you know, there's a lot of the underwater stuff that we had planned for the first one and for the sequel that we never got to do. And that was really just because we ran out of time. But nowadays, with the new consoles, you know, you can really do some spectacular underwater stuff as seen in games like Rayman Legends or Rayman Origins. So, you know, we're really looking forward to just bringing a really fun core experience and hopefully letting our imaginations run wild.
I reckon a bunch of us out there are very eager to see what sort of new worlds and underwater worlds that you're going to bring and the sort of creatures, too, that you're going to bring up in this new Dimension Excrement. Can you maybe give us a little bit of a hint of some of the new characters that we're going to run by in the
Sure.
new Excrement title?
Absolutely. So in the concept art that's on the Kickstarter page, you can see there's a sewer level there. And that's going to be a lot of swimming now, whereas before we didn't do any swimming in the sewers. One of the characters that used to be featured in there was called the Abdominal Sewer Man. And he'll be making a return, but the big star of the sewers is going to be the Sewermander. So the Sewermander is kind of this giant salamander that is the color of poo, basically. But he's going to be he's a really huge character size-wise, and he's going to be a focus of most of the sewer levels. So that's one of the characters. Another character that we're going to be able to finally bring forward is Professor Stinkbomb. So Professor Stinkbomb in the original game was never shown. He was talked about in the story. He was the character responsible for building the technology that funneled everything to Dimension Excrement. This time we're going to get Stinkbomb into the game, and he's going to team up with Boogerman and be building new contraptions for him to use throughout the levels. So while not exactly a character, you know, one of our big new contraptions that we're really excited about is the fart copter. And there's another great concept piece on the Kickstarter that shows the fart copter. And once you see it, you can imagine how it's powered and how it works. But, you know, that was the fart copter was actually a concept that we had done for the sequel. That's something that we always thought was really funny and it would make for a really fun shooting type gameplay.
Awesome. So on Kickstarter, your goal is $375,000 with a couple of other stretch goals revealed for more music and voice acting. I don't know if you can reveal right here and now, but are there other things that you hope to add to the game if you make enough money to it?
You know, there's a few things that we have that we're going to announce in the next probably week and a half that I wish I could announce right now, but I don't want to ruin it yet.
Okay.
But, you know, we do have some really cool stuff planned, and I think we have some stuff planned that will both be surprising to people and also very exciting. I know that it is to us, and when we think about what's there, you know, it's something that we get super excited about.
Okay.
So I wish I could tell you. You know, the one thing I can say is I can, you know, I can talk for a second about the stretch goals that we do have right now.
Yeah, go on, primarily, right ahead.
Primarily the extra music. You know, so when we started talking about putting the Kickstarter together, my first instinct and desire for music was to go to Grant Kirkhope. You know, Grant's an amazing composer responsible for the soundtracks from games like Banjo-Kazooie, Donkey Kong 64, Grabbed by the Ghoulies. You know, I could go on and on. He's a long time, he was a long time Rare employee. And we're just huge fans of Grant's. So when we started talking about the game, you know, I went to him first. And, you know, we sat down and had lunch. And within, you know, 20 minutes, it was obvious that we were going to hit it off. And so, you know, I wanted to make one of the early stretch goals more music from Grant, because it'll just make the soundtrack that much cooler. And also, for anyone that gets the physical rewards or the of the CD or gets the digital download of the soundtrack, it will just add value to that as well.
That's awesome. So we did touch a little bit about the voice acting. Do you plan on reaching out to Dan Castellaneta to see if he would like to reprise his role as Boogerman?
Yeah, you know, that's something that we've talked about. We haven't actually talked to Dan yet, but we're definitely going to reach out to him and see what he's up to and see if he'd be available for sure.
So one other thing is, I know you said you can't talk about too much of the other stretch funds, but my question is, because you started out by talking about this idea for a multiplayer sort of game, can you maybe hint a little bit about maybe adding something like that to it, the original concept thrown into the Boogerman world?
Yeah, you know, the one thing I can say for sure is that multiplayer is definitely something that we're very interested in. It's something we've had some experience with over the years, and it's absolutely something that we would like to bring to this title for sure.
Okay, all right. I'll cross my fingers that can mean some pretty cool things. So, besides the soundtrack and the game itself, like, if people donate a good chunk of cash towards the making of Boogerman 20th anniversary, what are some of the really cool things that people can actually get as, what'd you call incentives or goodies for the most part? Like,
you know, one thing, when we sat down to do the Kickstarter campaign, you know, we're big supporters of Kickstarter and we back a lot of projects. So, you know, we looked really closely at what people are offering, and, you know, we wanted to make sure that whatever we were able to bring to the table for people, that whether it was someone going in for $45 all the way up to, you know, thousands of dollars, we wanted to make sure that there was something cool for everybody. So, you know, we've got some really fun stuff. We've got a really cool vinyl sticker set, which is going to include characters from the original game. You know, the other interesting thing is we're going to let the backers vote on a lot of the designs for these things. So when it comes to things like the t-shirt or the vinyl stickers, we're going to have the backers voting which stuff they want to see most. And, you know, and we'll do it around that. You know, we have some other fun things, like we have a really fun patch that kind of harkens back to the old Activision Atari 2600 days, which we're big fans of. You know, obviously we're offering the digital download of the CD or of the soundtrack, as well as a physical CD. Mm-hmm. We've got on the cards to do a 20th anniversary ebook and a physical art book that will have a lot of original artwork from the game. From the new game, as well as some stuff that was designed for Boogerman 2 back in 1994 that hasn't been seen. If you go up from there, you know, we've got these really nice resin statues that were done by a sculptor in Texas and a 3D artist named Bob Wallace. We're offering unpainted versions, painted versions, and then one of the top tiers is we have a really cool green chrome version of it.
Does it glow in the dark?
It doesn't, you know, but we could look into that. That would be cool. You know, one of the other rewards on there that really excites me is the green chrome version of the original Sega Genesis cartridge.
Ooh.
So it's a working Sega Genesis cartridge of the original game. Comes in a nice embossed metal box. Has a really cool green chrome finish with a reproduction of the original label on it. And, you know, it's just a cool collectible to have, I think. You know, especially for me personally, I get really stoked over stuff like that.
Yeah. So what's this this wrap-up party, the big incentive if you donate. This restaurant you were talking about, what is it called? Barney's Bean World? Or
you know, it's Barney's Beanery. So, you know, if you were to donate to the highest tier that we have, you'll get everything that we're offering, including the green chrome statue, the cartridge, the shirts, the decals, the soundtracks, the art books, 10 copies of the game on any platform that you want. But then we're also going to be having the wrap party at Barney's Beanery. So Barney's Beanery is a pretty historical location in West Hollywood. It's actually a chain now. There's other locations throughout California, and I'm not sure if there are other states or not, but this place where we're going to be holding it is the original Barney's Beanery that's been around. It's a part of Hollywood in Los Angeles history, really. And the significance of that place, besides the name, is that that's where we held the original rap party 20 years ago. And it's a fun environment, and you know, it's a fun place to eat and really fun things to do. So, you know, if we're lucky enough to get to that point, we wanted to kind of include some people on that as well.
Awesome. That sounds like it's going to be a great night if this project gets going. So my final question, I guess, is for our listeners. I want you to basically tell our listeners, why should we donate to Boogerman 20th Anniversary?
So, you know, Boogerman 20th Anniversary is really, you know, it's something that's really near and dear to Mike and myself. It's also something that we know for sure there are people that are interested in it, because a lot of people grew up with it. There's a lot of childhood memories that we hear about, and a lot of brothers and sisters fighting over the cartridge and people getting farted on and that sort of thing. And, you know, but, you know, one thing I really want to stress is that, you know, the original game was, you know, primarily known for its the humor based on the grossness and the mucus and the farting, and, you know, and secondarily, it was a fun platform game. You know, one thing that's really important to Mike and myself is to really build a quality, fun game experience this time. You know, we've been making games now for 20 years since then. And, you know, this is our chance to use the skills and the stuff that we've learned over the last 20 years and really make something that really stands on its own, whether it was themed with, you know, the gross factor or not. You know, so this time, you know, first and foremost, for Mike and myself, it's about building a really fun current generation or next generation, if you want to think a couple weeks away from now, console platforming game experience. You know, and most importantly is Mike and I are doing this because we want to get back to what we love about video games. You know, we've been making games for so long now, we've lost sight a little bit over the years about why we got into the industry to start with. You know, we've lost sight through big projects and giant marketing budgets and huge publishers. And, you know, it's really important to us to go back to basics and go back to our core values of why we're here in the first place. And the reason we got into the game industry in the first place is because of games like this, because of games like Mario, and because of, you know, the NES and the original Game Boy. And, you know, so it's Kickstarter's allowing us to do this, and, you know, we couldn't be more excited about it. And we're hoping that you guys will get behind the game and get behind us as developers, because we want to make a great experience, not just for ourselves, but we want to make something great for you as well. So, you know, if you can support us, that's awesome. If you can't support us, you know, that's awesome too. We just appreciate you taking the time to check out the campaign and listening to what we have to say, and hopefully there'll be something there for you that you feel is worth getting behind.
And, of course, another reason why you should support the game, because Mike now needs Enfamil money.
That's right. Little Mikey needs new shoes.
Chris, thank you so much for joining me here on Boston Bash Brigade. Please, go to Kickstarter, look up Boogerman 20th Anniversary, go out and support this game. It played a big part in my childhood, and I'm sure all of you listeners out there played a bit of part of your childhood as well. So, Chris, best of luck. I'm going to be rooting for you. I'm going to be tweeting this like as crazily as I could possibly can, and I hope that success will be at the end of the road, you know?
Thank you so much, Evan. And if you want to get hold of us or talk to us about anything, you know, we're on Facebook all the time. We've got a Boogerman 20th Anniversary Facebook. We're on Twitter nonstop. We're also available through the Kickstarter site. So if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, or you just want to say hi, we'd love to hear from you. So reach out if you want to.
All right, listeners, be sure to do that then.